Dear Cheap Astronomy, what's the difference between the Goldilocks zone and the cosmic shoreline? These two concepts can be applied to narrow down the search for exoplanets which might bear life. The Goldilocks zone seeks to frame the conditions for planets on which water might predominantly exist in a liquid form. The cosmic shoreline arises from a 2017 paper which mapped out all the known planets and exoplanets according to their gravity, that is, their escape velocities, and also the stellar flux that they receive from their star. This simple mapping exercise identified a clear delineation, that is, a line between those with atmospheres and those without, a line which thereafter became known as the cosmic shoreline. The Goldilocks zone concept assumes the most important issue is temperature, not too hot and not too cold, and hence what matters is the star's stellar output and the distance from which planets orbit that star. But to have liquid water, you also need atmospheric pressure, since water will just boil away in a vacuum or near vacuum. So, for example, there is growing evidence that Mars used to have liquid water on its surface, suggesting it used to have much more atmosphere than it does now. Current thinking is that Mars initially had a liquid iron core that generated a strong magnetic field, but as the core of the small planet cooled, the field weakened and could no longer deflect the solar wind, which then proceeded to blow away most of Mars's atmosphere, including vaporized water. The specific output of a planet's star is also significant. If it's a giant blue or white star, pumping out predominantly short-wave ionizing radiation, like UV and X-rays, and also pumping out high-energy stellar wind particles, then the Goldilocks temperature zone still won't be conducive to having an atmosphere, liquid water, or life. At the other end of the scale, dim red dwarfs have very close-in Goldilocks zones, at which distance any planets are likely to be tidally locked and hence won't have spin-induced magnetic fields. Also, red dwarfs tend to regularly pump out super flares, which will strip the atmospheres off any close orbiting planets, as well as irradiating their surfaces with life-incompatible radiation. So clearly, you can't just say that any planet in a particular temperature zone will have liquid water, nor can you be sure that any outside that zone won't have liquid water. This is where cosmic shoreline proponents start feeling a bit smug. All they do is seek to identify planets with atmospheres, and their simple approach does give a good yes-no dichotomy where planets are either on one side of the line or the other. The cosmic shoreline doesn't aim to identify the presence of liquid water, but we do know that an atmosphere is a prerequisite for it. Anyhow, defining a Goldilocks zone that indicates the likelihood of liquid water on planets ends up requiring a lot of provisos and caveats. Remember how everyone got excited about TRAPPIST-1 with its 7 rocky planets in its Goldilocks zone, but then you read the footnote which pointed out it's a red dwarf system and all those 7 planets are in a closer than Mercury orbit. Cosmic shoreline proponents have no problem with TRAPPIST-1. Their mapping of stellar output and escape velocity clearly puts the TRAPPIST-1 planets on the wrong side of the shoreline. That is, they almost certainly have no significant atmosphere, and hence also no liquid water. As for magnetic fields, as far as the cosmic shoreline is concerned, it's an interesting side issue, but makes no real difference to which side of the shoreline a planet sits. It's only the stellar flux a planet is exposed to, and its escape velocity, that really matters. The TRAPPIST-1 planets do have the right escape velocities, that is, the right mass and density, but the stellar flux they are exposed to is definitely not atmosphere-friendly, even though they are in a Goldilocks temperature zone. So really, the Goldilocks zone concept only works if you add in a whole bunch of provisos and caveats. Temperature alone is not a strong delineating factor. So the cosmic shoreline does seem like a more effective sorting technique if you don't like provisos and caveats. Well, it kind of sort of is.